Here's another thing. We announced on April 6th how to make cold fusion. That's ready for anybody's interest. Give us an email, and we'll tell you how to get it. And meanwhile, James Martinez over in Cashflow, he has this weekly show a couple of days a week, and he has a feature. He's interviewing the cold fusion scientists Edmund Storms and Michael McCubra, and he's having them on there, and then people say, wow, let's have more of them on. And this all happening while ION is giving everybody what Pons and Fleischmann and McCubra and Edmund Storms don't know.
Yes.
So what's funny is James is talking about who he's having on, and we're setting it up. We're going to later have ION come in and X-ray what Mr. McCubra and Mr. Storms don't know. And you will hear it in the language of physics from Mr. ION. If Mrs. Iona wants to go into it right now, you want to talk a bit about it, go ahead.
Well, it's just real fun and easy. We're going to make it available to everybody. Everybody's name can have access to this. We're going to give it to the Ites, all the Ites, the Shiites, the Sunnites, all the Ites, and the Cans. Are the Americans, the Canadians, the Mexicans, the Chinese, the Eases, all the Eases, the Chinese, the Lebanese, the all the Eases.
The one group that's not going to get it is the McLuhanites, because Ion is sick of hearing about McLuhan from me.
God bless Marshall McLuhan. Love Marshall McLuhan. And everybody in your listening audience just cringes when they say the name. And we've even got it to a place Bob has accelerated so far beyond anything Marshall ever danced with. Till now when he mentions McLuhanism, we always say, however, and now Bob is forced to then give his position rather than limit it to the Marshall McLuhan reality, and it's just such great fun.
Yesterday, I interviewed Dr. Michael McCubra. He was the gentleman that was in 60 Minutes that talked about the cold fusion, and you know they confirmed it and so forth. But one of the interesting things that came up is he told me how the story was developed and what was going on in other labs and so forth. And as I was listening to him, I was wondering why, based upon all his knowledge and all the experiments that have done and him being able to reproduce that effect at least 50 times, why it was that another company with a different motivational level managed to do the experiment, and the excess heat that was exhibited through the capacitor or whatever they used to create the experiment was substantially higher than anybody else in the world had done previously. And what he mentioned in the interview is that the motivation level of the people involved were completely different. So in the creative process, when somebody is trying to get this to happen on a linear time, so whenever they want to light it up, it'll do it whenever they want, any place, any time, and duplicate it over and over again to a certain extent. What is it in the creators or the participants or the scientists that are doing it that they're missing? Is it they're blocking their own ability to get the more excess heat than these other guys that have done it? Because originally the story came out. Go ahead.
They're not using the enriched palladium.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Remember, he told you that, James, last year.
Mm-hmm. They're not using.
I told you in your private reading. They're not used. They're only using normal palladium,
mm-hmm.
Enriched palladium.
He mentioned to me that sometimes the palladium that he's used, it's varied, and sometimes they thought, okay, this is going to be good palladium, and this is going to work, and it doesn't. And then it'll have some other palladium, which they find out later is not precisely what they originally asked for, and then it works great. So it
right.
is the person that's doing the experiment affecting their discovery process of going, okay, ta-da, the light bulb goes off, here we are.
Well, yeah, do you think the individual...
I know that, but I want you to talk about
yeah.
that.
But James, notice that he is asking him how much the enriched factor is. He right in the middle of your question there, he said it is the ones when it works is when they accidentally get the enriched one or something.
So the question would be, what is enriched palladium?
Well,
yes.
it's a derivative of platinum.
Mm-hmm.
It's a derivative of platinum that is enriched at a higher level. And why they use palladium, how palladium even became into existence is so people could put it in their catalytic converters so that they could have that larger heat response be controlled? Because if you listen closely to those words, James, the bigger object here of the experiment is not that it didn't work, is that they didn't know how to control it.
Yes. Yes.
No. There was too much heat. That was the issue. It wasn't did it work or didn't it work. It's we got so much we didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's abundance. So now it's not is it. It is. Now it's just we got to control it. Well, there you go. There's your anomaly. And then you go with an enriched palladium that can take up to 600 Kelvin. Or 6,000 Kelvin, depending if you're going to talk about a thermal heat exchange, then there is no issue or problem.
And the other question about palladium is enriched palladium. Is there a standardization of what is enriched? So then you're going to be getting a different palladium every time.
Until you find the one that works and know which one that is.
Right.
Isn't that how, they know what we say about science all along? They only can create by default. Once they can disallow it, then it isn't. But when they can't understand or overlay why something works, then that becomes what is.
Mm-hmm.
James, do you realize...
There you go.
I just want to tell the listeners, do you realize what you're listening to? James brings up this complex, highly technical thing. Iona immediately has clarifications immediately. He ain't reading this off Google. He ain't quickly internetting something.
Right.
I mean,
that's
look
right.
at this. We actually are talking to the God, the great God that knows all, even though that's us, but it's extended for the first time. And you want to know anything. We could even go into more details with high-tech stuff about coal fusion and what they don't get, what you'd find out in our tape for $99.99.
That's right. That's
these
right.
Guys
good.
Are
good
not, to you can find out what's really going on, what they're missing, aside from the enriched radium. But just listen to this voice that's talking to us. Do you realize the miracle of this? Sorry, I'm just expressing my. Look at the detail.
Oh, Bob.
Sorry.
It's a little old sweet.
I just so love you, Iona. I just love you. I want to dig your ass, Iona.
What you're giving, Bob, is the opposite of a claimer. You're not giving a disclaimer.
Oh, yeah, you guys should be affected by this. I guess I'm canceling out our disclaimer.
Right.
If you people are not being affected by what you're listening to, but carry on, James. Go into more high tech. These are good questions.
They did this story because the effect by this other company who was with a different people entirely, different eyes, he told me that they were motivated in a much different way. And if somebody's motivated in a different way, they're going to relax and allow that excess heat to be higher than any other experiments. And this is the lab that they went and showed on the 60 Minutes piece. But because of those people involved there, because they have different mindset, did they relax and allow the a larger excess heat to occur than any other of the times when they've done it?
Iona, let me answer that. I would say it's because they allowed the proper type of palladium to come to them to be used. What would you say to that, Iona?
Yes, and they were so smitten with it, they didn't even know which palladium it was.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a real high-tech scientific experience.
Isn't that funny?
No, it's okay. I want to put this. Devin Idaho says this. She says cold fusion. I was going to say, Devin Idaho says this. I just want to, so she knows. Cold fusion, I thought Dr. McCooper talked about the modulating superwaves, DC current, that added to the success. I'm not referring to the technology. I'm referring to the people associated, the people, the person, the entities that are involved in it. That's what I'm referring to, Deb in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much what they're doing, but who the people are involved that are getting more success versus the people that have been involved for years and years and years trying to duplicate it, getting the same thing or not getting anything at all. What was the difference in the personality archetype, or what were they doing? He said they were motivated, and I'm like, if I'm hearing motivated, I'm talking like that's cash that they're motivated to take this thing and then utilize it for money. Or what was their motivation? What was the motivation for these guys to be able to get
needs
this?
Needs times faith equals motivation.
Mm-hmm. Do it again.
Needs times faith equals motivation.
Uh-huh. Got
and
it.
That needs, is that K-N-E-A-D?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And faith would also equate to self-image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone noticed that Ion said hope is very important. So can we put faith and hope together?
Nope.
No, don't do that. So what is faith in that situation?
Self-image.
So need.
They couldn't see themselves accomplishing it, so they couldn't.
Mm-hmm. And then others could see it.
All right, so now if you take in that as best, now it's a simple equation. If you're trying to figure out someone's self-image, divide it all by motivation. If you're trying to find someone's, if you know the self-image and you want to know the need or level degree of mixing, then you divide it all by motivation and can pinpoint the variables, and then you can tell why every formula can work, and when it does work, that's how it works. You have the appropriate mixing, you have the appropriate self-image, and that will equate to a particular given motivation.
So what was it? Needs equals faith equals...
Needs times faith equals motivation.
Oh, needs times faith. So, James, I know you're interviewing these cold fusion guys, but we're just waiting here because then Ion's going to come in. This will be your coup de grace, whatever it is, the denouement. When James then has Ion come in, the real source of understanding this, and
right.
Correct Mr. McCubra and Mr. Pons and Mr. Fleischman, that's what's waiting here. We're just waiting on the sidelines.
Well, I know. We're warming up.
Views.
Getting warmed up.
Yeah, I know. We're warming up. And what's funny
excess
is,
heat.
You know,
the excess heat is coming.
Here are people. There's Deb, D-E-B, capital D-E-B from Idaho, saying, you know, Dr. McCuber talked about this modulating super waves. Well, Deb, do you realize that we're talking to someone who knows more than all that stuff, okay, and actually produced the secret to it? You can get it for $99.99 if you want to really be serious about this interest in cold fusion. We got more information than Mr. Pond's place ever will come up with.
What, okay. What did they come up with?
Nothing.
So far.
They got close. And
it
you know,
based
they're the
upon,
authority on hand grenades and horseshoes, then.
They're the authority on what?
Hand grenades and horseshoes.
Hand grenades and horseshoes. I was saying that when I was speaking with him, he seemed to indicate and suggest to me that people surrounding it, that there's just massive amounts of doubt still, even though they know it exists. Even though they know it exists, none of the people in high-level science that are coming out of college or what, nobody wants to get into it. Everybody's afraid of attaching themselves to it. So there's this whole, like, constipated doubt around people that are doing it.
Because as McClellan said, in the information economy, there's no finish line. That's why they get mad at people saying they got a cure for cancer. That upsets the whole employment thing. Everybody, well, what are we going to work at now? Research and development means never finding the answer. You give money to the cancer research things. You are paying for your own employment and keeping it going, and you're not going to arrive at the destination. Now, we're sitting here with the answer to all this, and with Dr. McCuber, Dr. Pons, or Fleischman, would they actually believe I am? Probably wouldn't. So the very thing you're complaining about them, James, about people responding to their research, well, I complain about those scientists about responding to Ion. Okay, James, you can bring up something.
Okay, so I'm still stuck in cold fusion land. If somebody is going to download that discovery, right, or that announcement rather, on your website, howionic.com, and let's say they are a person with a fresh mind that the glass is half empty rather than half full, are they more likely to bypass any of the problematic issues of peer pressure and you can't do this and you can't this and it can't be this and it can't be this and it can't be this? Is that possible?
You already know what you can't do. You're trying to figure out what's a possibility.
Right.
If you're doing it from a place of what you can't do, you already know that. There's no mystery. But if you're taking on a concept of something new that you can do, then you can take that. And if you have questions regarding that, we're available most all the time, and we'll cover every potential capacity or specific question that you have regarding it. And you can do it blow by blow in your garage and build you one.
Yeah. Good. Did you hear that, everybody?
Yep.
Great. Now, is...
If people think they can solve the cold fusion solution in a public tape or public breathing, I mean, that I know in working with ION that there are specifics. You have to dig. You have to ask questions. You have to really...
You have to know what it is you created. Otherwise, you'll create it. You won't know what it is, and it might be electrifying.
Okay. Electrifying in... What do you mean by electrifying?
Like the man who got... The electrician who got rid of his 40-year-old wife and got two 20-year-old girlfriends. He quickly discovered that he wasn't wired for 220.
Yeah, I gotcha. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.